live in remembrance. What a beautiful offering. Thank you, Carol. I will live in remembrance. Let's pray. Father God, your word says that we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. So, Father, in the next few minutes, my prayer is that you have your way, that I offer the study, the words, the thoughts that I've had this week, I offer them all to you as a living sacrifice. Father, I ask now that your word is like a two-edged sword. It corrects, it rebukes, it teaches, it guides, it reassures, it restores. And as we come in remembrance of you this morning, of your sacrifice, of your love, Father, break our hearts again, so that we can always live in remembrance of what you've done and who you are and who we are because of that. And we say this all in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Good morning, Pathways. Pastor Paula Moutsos. I'm the discipleship pastor for those who don't know me. And I am privileged to come before you once again and share with you a few thoughts this morning. So I'm going to start with a photo. I'm going to ask Kath to put up a photo. Now, who do you think that is? It's a picture of me. And that's a picture of my dad. And that was my wedding reception. Peter and I recently celebrated 32 years of marriage. And yeah, amen. Somebody needs to praise God. Because it wasn't us, it was the Lord that did that. It was our 32nd wedding anniversary. And it caused me to think about this day. It's a really long backstory, and it's a juicy one, so if you ever want to hear all the details, you'll have to be in small group with me. I'm not going to share it this morning, but I'll just simply say that this was the wedding reception that my mom and dad threw for me and Peter, and it was filled with friends and family, and it was very traditional, and there was a lot of food and music. And you see that little dress I had on, okay? It was everything. It was like a little tuxedo dress, and it really mirrored what Peter and my dad was doing, and it was cute, and there was food and cake, and I even had a fancy ice carving because it was a fancy event. And there were a lot of things about that evening that was very nice. But there's one thing about that day that I really hold dear to my heart, and it was the moment where my dad, you know, gave the traditional toast that most fathers do. And what I hold so dear about that moment and that toast was that it is so interesting to hear how somebody else sees you. My dad, in general, was a pretty quiet man. He was very, very quiet. You know, if he had something to say, he would speak. He was a wise person. But to hear him make a speech, that was an extremely rare thing. And to hear him just eloquently explain to Peter who he saw me as was really quite something. He remembered things about me that I had forgotten. And the fact that he held them as a treasured memory really spoke to me. He reminded me the stories that he told in that moment grounded me and reminded me as I was moving into this new beginning with my husband. It grounded me into who I was and the family that I had come from and all of those things. It was amazing to hear him make predictions about what he thought that our lives together would look like. It was an amazing day. And after that, we had our father-daughter dance, and that was really special. That was in August of 1992. And that picture is about 4 months before he died. That's one of the last pictures we have of him. And it's something that I'll never forget. There are just some things that we should never forget. In the same way, the Lord's Supper that we're going to take today is a meal that we receive. And just as we take the elements and receive them into our bodies, we've taken Jesus Christ and received him into our lives. But the Lord's Supper is more than a meal. It's a memorial. When we share in the bread and the cup, we not only have the responsibility of receiving, but we also have the responsibility of remembering. You know, on the night that Jesus was executed, he gathered his disciples for a final meal together, and it would be their last time together before he was hauled away by Jewish and Roman authorities to be crucified. And around that table where he shared the Passover meal with his closest friends, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to him and said, "This is my body, which I give to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the Apostle Paul's record in 1 Corinthians, he recorded instituting the Lord's Supper, and twice he has Jesus say, "In remembrance of me." You know, the word remembrance means that something is kept or given as a reminder. It's a commemoration of something. And because we are tactile, we're finite beings, we need things in order to help us, to make our memories vivid, to make them real, to help us recall, to make things contemporary, to make things more of a reality. And in this case, it was Jesus remembering. In this case, I'm sorry, remembering the words of Jesus in his life and his deeds and his death and the life that it brings to us. He wanted us to remember. Jesus wanted us to remember that we are redeemed, and we were redeemed, and we are still being redeemed, and we will be fully redeemed when he returns. And that is what the Lord's Supper commemorates for us, that fact. So to aid our memory, Jesus chose two very simple but necessary elements of life to use as a reminder. He used bread and he used wine, the simplest of elements. But when they're associated with our Savior, they become powerful mementos. They should stir up emotions and memories in our hearts. In the same way, an intimate photo album or a well-read, well-worn letter from a friend or a special gift from a mentor. You know, when we have a funeral or memorial service here at Pathways, we generally ask people, when you come, when the family comes, please bring a keepsake. Bring something that is special, that reminds you of the person that has passed. So, you know, over the years, I've seen all kinds of things. I've seen jewelry. I've seen pictures. So one family bought a hat, a pair of matching gloves that reminded them of their mom. I've seen military medals and diplomas, all sorts of things. And when you, at first glance, see these remembrances, these ordinary objects, they usually don't really hold a large monetary value. But in the context of a funeral or a memorial service, these objects are priceless. These items, these mementos, these keepsakes of the life of the person are how they're remembered by their friends and family. And in the same way, when we celebrate communion, this is how our Lord wants to be remembered. When the mementos of the bread and the cup are before us, he desires that we remember him. He wants our time together as a spiritual family to be, I don't know, he wants it to be comfortable. He wants it to be familiar. He wants it to be, I don't know, like an evening of sitting with your parents or grandparents with a photo album. And it's not a time where it's a dry lament or a reciting of, okay, and on the night he died. That's not the spirit of it. He wants to remember, but he wants us to remember vibrantly his life. He wants us to remember the sacrifice. He wants us to remember. You know, it's a tragic thing, I think, when we lose our wonder. I was looking at the pictures of the little kids, and the first one they showed was that little girl that was just like, ah! And it's such a tragedy when we lose that sense of wonder. And I think as we get along and we live our lives and all the things that happen to us in the course of a day and a week and a month and a year, we're beaten down. And we lose our wonder and we forget what it means to be redeemed. And that's sad. And not only is it sad that we forget that we are redeemed, it's even worse that we forget that we have a redeemer. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones once defined a Christian person as one who is amazed at the fact that they have been forgiven. And they don't take it for granted. And one of the reasons that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper is to remind us of the price that he paid to save us. The wounds of Calvary he took to heaven with him. Perhaps as a reminder forever for us that he died in our place. He doesn't want us to forget, but family, it's not for his sake, it's for ours that he doesn't want us to forget. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it was his way of saying, never forget what's been done for you on the cross. Never forget the pain, the suffering, the sacrifice through the broken bread. He reminds us of his body that was broken to meet our hunger for salvation. In his brokenness, Jesus received our sin. Through the poured wine, he reminds us of his blood that was spilled to meet our need for life. Through his blood, Jesus erased our sin. Through Jesus' broken body and spilled blood, he became the perfect sacrifice. He atoned for our sins, and he has redeemed us for all eternity. So, what do we do with that information? What is our response when we truly understand the sacrifice? When we understand his love, all we can do is give him our lives. Let me take you back for a moment. Let's use our holy imaginations for just a moment. And let's go back to that upper room when Jesus was sharing his last meal with his disciples. Sharing a meal with friends was a very common practice back then as it is today. And as Jewish men, sharing the Passover meal was as familiar to them and their families as perhaps celebrating Thanksgiving is to us and our families. The Passover in itself was a call to remembrance, remembering God's deliverance of the Jewish people from the bondage of Egypt. But on that night, when Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood and shed for you," something highly uncommon was done. Let me put it to you in context of that time. In the first century, when a young Jewish man reached marrying age and his family selected a bride, there were arranged marriages then as now, and when the family selected an appropriate wife for him, he, the groom and his father, the potential groom and the father, would meet the young woman and her father to negotiate a bride price. Now, that was the figurative cost of what it would cost to replace a daughter. And usually, the price was pretty high. And I've got to tell you, as a daughter, I appreciate that it was a big dollar amount. Now, when the negotiations were complete, the custom was for the young man's father to pour a cup of wine and hand it to his son. His son, in turn, would turn to the young woman, lift the cup, hold it out to her, and say, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which I offer to you." In other words, it was his way of saying, "I love you, and I'll give you my life. Will you marry me?" Now, the young woman had a choice in that moment. She could take the cup and then return it back and say, "Thanks, but no thanks." She had a choice. I don't know what would have happened to her if she'd done that, but she had a choice. Or what she could do was, without saying a word, take the cup and drink. And that was her way of responding and saying, "I accept your offer, and I will marry you, and I will give you my life. So, on the night of the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples sat down celebrating Passover. The disciples knew the liturgy very well. They celebrated Passover all of their lives, and when it came time to drink the third cup, because when you have a Seder, and we've celebrated Seders here, and maybe we'll do one again next year, we haven't done one in a while. There are four cups that are passed during a Seder. And the third cup that comes around, that you drink, is called the cup of redemption. Jesus lifted that cup, and as the disciples would have expected, he offered the traditional Seder thanks. And the same words are used today in the Seder celebration. It says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, for giving us the fruit of the vine." And then he offered them the cup. But then he did something that the disciples probably didn't expect. He then said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which I offer to you." Now, there were many meanings to that statement, but one of them, the most common, would have been, in ordinary language, "I love you." And the only picture that I can think that will describe the power of my love for you is that of the pure love between a husband and a wife. Now, who knows what the disciples thought at that moment as Jesus was proposing to them? Maybe they chuckled. It had to seem totally out of place. But maybe, just maybe, they understood in that moment Jesus' willingness to die, be buried, and eventually rise to say, "I love you, and as my Father promised your fathers, I'll pay the price for you. And in response, will you love me back by giving me your life?" When we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we must be mindful of Jesus' offer. He still says, "I love you." He provided the extent of his love by dying on the cross for our sins, and he says to us, "I offer you my life. Will you be my bride?" The taking of the cup is a solemn moment, a sentimental moment, for it's the moment that the one Heavenly Father, the one and only Heavenly Father, says, "Yes, I accept. Will you give me your life in response?" So my question this morning to you, Pathways, is this: have you taken the cup? Have you accepted Jesus' offer? Have you given your life in response? Do you remember what he did for you, does for you? Is it as vivid in your mind and in your memory as maybe the day that you prayed to invite Jesus into your heart? That moment needs to be etched into your mind. And if you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then this morning I invite you to share in communion with us. If you are still wondering at this time where Jesus fits, perhaps, in the bigger scheme of your life, I would invite you to use this time to reflect. I'm going to ask by a show of hands, if you have not been served communion, please raise your hands so that our deacons can come. I have some people here in the front that need to be served. And for the rest of us, I would ask you to pull out the elements. And I would ask you to very carefully peel back the top to expose the bread. And after you've done that, I would ask you to place it in your hand and lift it up so I'll know that you're ready. And we're going to wait for our whole family. We're going to wait for our deacons who are serving, because this is a moment where family, we eat together. Listen to these words. Come to the table of Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus invites you here as a part of the people of God. Come to the table humbly, not because you've earned a place, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love God and you want to love God more. Come because Jesus first loved us and gave himself for us. Come because you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come because you want to experience the mystery of God's grace. On the night that he was handed over, Jesus had a meal with his friends, and he took a loaf of bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And if you would carefully peel back the lid to expose the Baptist wine. After supper, Jesus took a cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shared for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, remember me." Let's pray. God, our Creator, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose love pursues us our whole life long. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life to us in your words and by deed, even unto death, the death on a cross. Come, Holy Spirit, and feed us with your love, that we may be filled with power to love God with all our hearts, our souls, and our minds. Help us to live a life of sacrifice. And we say this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand.